Pears consumed, and Taco Bell is in the process of being consumed. So thank you for that. James chapter 3, let's go there. You all are quite a blessing. I could go on and on about just the blessings that it is to be here and to serve here. And I know pastors say the same thing. Just we have something special here in our church, and don't take it for granted, because I've been in a few churches over the years. Some of the nonsense that happens in churches is just ridiculous. And we don't have that here. So we're not perfect. It's not like we don't have problems. We do, but they're few and far between. Thank the Lord that they are. So James chapter 3. And let's go to verse 3. Let's read verse 3 down to verse 6. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now, a lot of times you come to this passage. That's verse 6 is a powerful verse, by the way, isn't it? There's a whole lot in that verse. I'm not preaching on that verse this morning, but usually when we turn to this passage, you hear a message on the tongue. So let me give you a little mini sermonette on the tongue. Your tongue is a little member, but it can either build or it can destroy. Make sure you use it to build. Because you use your tongue to form words, right? And words come forth from you, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Be careful about what you allow in your heart, because sooner or later it will come out of your mouth. And use your tongue for the right reasons. Now, that's not the message. I just had to throw that in there because we read the verse and there's some good stuff there. But what I'd like to focus on is the three things mentioned here, one in verse 3, one in verse 4, and then in verse 5. So, in order, verse 3, a bit in the mouth of a horse. How many of you rode horse before? Probably a whole bunch in here. Yes, fun thing to do. You take those reins are attached to a bit in the mouth of the horse, and you can turn that thing right or left, and that horse will go that way. It's a little thing that controls the whole horse. In comparison to the horse, that bit is very, very small. So there's the first thing. Look at verse 4. A ship is controlled by, it tells you in that verse, a very small helm. A large ship controlled by something very, very small that the captain of the ship can steer. So little things control big things. The last one being the tongue. You are who you are largely in part by what you say. I am known and you are known by what comes out of our mouth. So if you really wanted to know what I'm all about and what you're all about, play back the recording of everything that came out of your mouth for the past week. How would that go? I'll tell you what it would do. It would prove whatever is in our heart, because what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. You are who you are by what you say, how you say it, and what you say. So the tongue, a little member, but it actually has a lot to do with who you are as a person. The whole body, it says there in verse 5. So this morning we're going to speak about little things. And I will give you the title here and then we'll pray. Little things make a big difference. So if you don't know that, hopefully by the end of the message you'll see that. Little things make a big difference, and there's a few areas we'll cover on a practical level this morning, and we could cover a whole lot more, but hopefully this will help all of us as we head off out into the week. So let's pray together, and then we'll get into the message. Lord, thank you for your words. They are always the words that we need to hear. I pray that the words that we read this morning would not just be go in the air and then go away, but they would be words that we apply individually to our hearts. I know from reading this passage and studying it, and the folks here know also that there's something for us to learn, something for us to apply from what we read this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work on every single one of our hearts this morning so that we might truly put into action these things that we know to do. And we know that we can't do that unless your Holy Spirit's involved, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit be active this morning in all of our hearts. And we just want to welcome you here this morning. Lord God, and ask for you to do the work that you want to do on us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So any of you watch the Olympics? Nobody watches the Olympics? Okay, thank you, Chris. One person out of the congregation watched them? Okay, well, let me tell you about the 2008 Olympics. How about this name? Michael Phelps, that ring a bell? All right, what, help me out here, a little audience participation. What sport? He's a swimmer, yes. 2008 Summer Olympics were held in Beijing. And Michael Phelps had the goal of winning 8 gold medals, which would have been a history maker if he would have won 8 gold medals as a swimmer. So Michael Phelps' first six competitions, you know, in swimming there's all these different distances and strokes that they use in order to compete. So first six races, Michael Phelps, 6 races, 6 gold medals. This is pretty impressive. I mean, you win 2 or 3, that's pretty good in one Olympics. He's so far 6 for 6. The 7th race was the 100-meter butterfly. So in the race, Phelps got off to a really poor start. In fact, if you go back and watch the video, the announcers say, oh, man, Phelps got off to a poor start, and he's behind early. And he was. In fact, a guy from Serbia, Serbian swimmer Milorad Kavic, was in the lead. Really good swimmer. And at the halfway point, so 50 meters in, out of 8 swimmers, Phelps is 7th. So if you're going to win a gold medal, you got to be first. He's in 7th place. Now, if you watch these races at the Olympic level, it's not very much distance that separates number 1 from number 8. Nevertheless, if you're halfway through this race, 50 meters to go, and you're 7th, your chances of winning, not very good. So 7th out of 8. At the halfway point, and nobody really thought. In fact, if you watch the video and listen to the announcers, they're thinking, "Ah, Phelps is probably not going to win this race." So, in the last 25 meters, Phelps begins to make up some ground, and as the finish line is nearing for both Kavic, who had led practically the whole race, and Phelps, they're practically neck and neck down these last few meters, last little stretch. Kavic and Phelps, like either one of these guys could win it. And Phelps came from 7th all the way to, now he's got a chance to win this thing. So as they approach the finish, they're neck and neck. And Kavic finished the race by fully extending his arms in a glide, which is normal for a swimmer this distance. And he thought, that will give me exactly what I need to get there before Phelps. Phelps, a little unorthodox, he decided to take a half stroke at the end, which most coaches would have advised against. But took that half stroke, and the official results came in. Michael Phelps' time in the 100-meter butterfly, 50.58 seconds. Milorad Kavic, 50.59 seconds. Phelps won gold medal number 7 during that race by 1/100th of a second. It's faster than I snapped my finger. I mean, that you can't measure. How are you going to measure 1/100th of a second? You take out your watch and hit it a couple times as fast as you can. You won't do it in less than 1/100th of a second. So I tell you that story this morning because, it's, number one, it's a true story that really happened. And it goes to show you that a little thing, a fraction of a second, makes a big difference. So I didn't swim growing up a whole lot, but I played and coached baseball. And I can tell you that baseball is a game of inches. Pastor played baseball, he can tell you this. Here's a situation where you got a runner on second base, tie ball game, runner on second base, 2 outs. And the guy at the plate, if he gets a single, he gets a base hit, the game is over. So the guy swings, hits the ball up in the air, over the first baseman's head, down the right field line. And the ball is going to fall somewhere near that foul line, that white foul line. And if it lands on the foul line, it's a fair ball, game over, unless somebody catches it before it hits. And I have seen over and over again over the years, watching and coaching baseball, I have seen, is it going to be fair foul? Foul ball by a fraction of an inch, and game's not over. A fraction of an inch the other way, it hits that white line, game over. It's a game of inches. So little things make a big difference. And you saw the examples there in James 3. We're not going to park here this morning. We're going to go some other places. But I want to start off by telling you this. Now, this is not the first point. This is just an introduction. But I'll tell you this. Men are impressed with big things. The Lord is not so impressed with big things. Let me tell you something happened last night. I went to that godforsaken place that we all have to go, Walmart. I hate going to Walmart. We had to go to Walmart because certain things you can only get at Walmart. Especially, you can go to Walmart and keep from having to go five other places. You can get it all in one shot. But anyway, we're at Walmart. We're back there in the electronics department. They used to make these, you know, 32-inch TVs. That's pretty good size. You can see pretty clear with a 32-inch TV. Okay, let's go bigger. Let's go 44-inch. You're not going to believe. Well, you've been to Walmart. You know this. 75-inch TV you can buy. And it's actually not terribly priced. 75. How big a TV do you need? You realize how big 75 inches is? I'm 6 feet tall. I'm 72 inches tall. That TV's 75 wide, but you lay me down, it's longer than I am from head to toe. How big a TV do you really need? Wouldn't that take up, I mean, we have a little condo. That would take up the whole wall, practically. In the living room, that's going to take up the whole wall. So how big a TV do you really need? We got by for a long time with little TVs. It was fine. But the bigger the better, that's what they say, right? Let me show you what the Lord thinks about big things, especially when man is impressed with them. Go to Mark chapter 13. And this is just kind of paved the way to where we're going this morning. Little things make a big difference. And the Lord draws our attention to little things a whole lot more than He does big things. We just took an offering. You remember the account of the widow that put in two mites in the offering plate? You got all these Pharisees standing around saying, oh, she didn't put that much in. You know, they're putting a whole lot more than that widow put in there. And the Lord said, I'm paraphrasing here, but the Lord said, she has given all that she has. These Pharisees, all these hypocrites, all these guys who thought a lot of themselves are thinking, oh, I put a lot in. Okay, you might have put more than her, but not comparatively speaking. She gave everything she had. It looked like a little bit that she put in there, and it actually was just a little bit, but what did the Lord say about it? A little bit is actually a whole lot in her case. A little thing makes a big difference. Little things make big differences. So, Mark chapter 13, I always get a kick out of reading this. You ever read the Bible and you just kind of got to laugh about the situation happening? I laugh when I look at these disciples about some of the things they say to the Lord. Peter's the best, you know. He says some wild things. And you read that and you're like, man, what was Peter thinking? He's not thinking straight. And then you think to yourself, I've done the same thing. I've said similar things. I know better than Peter. But look up chapter 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. So that temple that they're looking at was quite a structure. I mean, it was incredible to just look at that thing from the outside. Just beautiful. It's a big thing, right? It's an impressive thing. Look at verse 2, see what the Lord thinks of that. Verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be what? What did the Lord say? Not impressed. One day, this very impressive great structure will no longer be standing here. Then what are you going to say about it? You won't say anything about it. Because men focus on big things, great things. You go to any major city, the closest one being Orlando. What's the main feature of Orlando? The downtown area. What's down there? Big buildings. And if you were here for Sunday school, guess who owns most of those buildings? Banks. It's all tied up in the money because the love of money is the root of all evil. And you see big things. Okay, go to Disney, go to Universal. If you ever go to those places, what do the kids, particularly the teenagers, what do they want to do? They want to get on the biggest roller coaster, the highest one, right? I mean, I'm not a kid anymore, but I still like, hey, the bigger the better, man, right? Let's go. Let's go way up there, and let's go way down as fast as possible. What a thrill, right? It's over pretty quick, though, isn't it? And then what do you got to do? Oh, we got to get on it again. So you wait 3 hours in line and you get on again, right? That's the way it usually goes. But I say all that because we are so impressed with big things. And the Lord says, get your eyes off the big things. Pay close attention to the little things, because little things make a big difference. So let's look at the first point this morning. How about we talk about something small that nobody really thinks is all that big of a deal, but the Lord does. Go to Matthew 6. How about we talk about the lilies? Talk about the flower, lilies. Matthew chapter 6. Take a look at this. Hope you got your Bible, because if you follow along here, you'll be able to see for yourself. You don't take my word for it. What's in the Bible? Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 27. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 27. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And the answer to that is, it doesn't matter how much I think. And in this case, it's kind of like we're worrying. It doesn't matter how much that I do that, it's not going to help. So then he says, verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? All right, so if you're not familiar with that word, what's raiment, everybody? Okay, you folks read your Bible. You know what that means. You read your King James Bible. Raiment is just simply clothing. And if you read in the context, you figure that out. Look what he says here. Consider the what? Now, it doesn't say consider the redwood tree. That's a big stinking tree out there in California. I've been out there, just seen pictures. But those are some tall trees. The Lord didn't say consider the redwood. He said consider the what? The lilies. Little old flower. Doesn't really grow to be all that big. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, now watch the comparison here, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Hey, God would have us pay attention to the little things that He used and the little things that He made are a whole lot more impressive oftentimes than the big things, even the things that God made. Let me give you an example. Sherry and I have a couple little cats. I've told you this before. And almost daily, I mean, those guys, those little cats compared to me, aren't that much. They're small. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you about a smaller animal we got in our house here sometimes. We got a little I call him the rat, but he's a little dwarf hamster. And he's even smaller. And what I'm going to say about the cats, I could say about the dwarf hamster too. I will look daily at one of those cats and look at the details of their fur. Or you could look at the details of their eye or their claws. God put on the paws of our little cats these little pads. I like just kind of feeling the thing. It feels so cool, real smooth. And those cats were made not so much to live in the house because they end up scratching stuff and messing it up, but they were made to actually walk around outside, and God gave them those little pads and those claws so they can both walk around outside in different kinds of environments, whether it's a hard ground, soft ground, and then they can protect themselves with those claws and climb if need be. So I look at just amazed at the little structures on these little animals we got. We got this little dwarf hamster, that little guy. I stick my finger up to the cage. You know what he does? He bites me. These little tiny teeth. Little tiny teeth. And it hurts. I mean, I'm telling you, I scare him whenever I do it. I'll stick my finger up there, hey, man. And he chomps on, and then he jumps back too because he's scared about me startling him. That little guy with those little tiny teeth can inflict some pain in me. A little thing makes a big difference, doesn't it? I think it's interesting that the Lord didn't draw our attention to something big that He made. He drew our attention to something small, because the small, if you really start studying the small things God made all the way down to the cellular level, you will have to admit there is a God. Study. You want to go smaller than a lily? Study the cell. Oh, man. You got to get a microscope to study this thing. That thing is like, and Miley could tell you all about this because she learned this. Hopefully she learned this in biology last semester. That little cell. Now, you got billions of them in your body. Every one of those little cells is like a miniature city. It's got all these different parts. You got the Golgi apparatus. You got the mitochondria. You got the lysosomes, the vacuoles. You got the cell membrane. You got all these parts. And they all have to work together to keep you alive. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of cells in your body. And if they don't work right, you feel it. You get sick. You have different aches and pains because the cells aren't doing what they should be. It's all down to the cellular level. You study the cell is a marvelous thing, and it points to the fact that there's got to be a creator. That thing is so complex. You look at that thing, there's no way that thing came about as a result of evolution. Somebody made that thing. I believe it's God, the God of the Bible, that made that thing. All right, so here's some things on the lilies. I just picked out one thing that's small that God made here, and then we'll kind of change gears here. I picked the lilies, but then here's some other things you can study in your Bible that are small things that made a big difference. How about a question for you? How did God make Adam? From what? Dust of the ground. Go outside one day and scoop up some dirt. Put it in your hand. And you got little tiny pieces there, and you got to scoop up quite a bit to have a hunk of dirt there. And look at that dirt and meditate on that dirt for a while. I mean this. You should try this. Meditate on that dirt. Look at that dirt. That's where I came from. No, really. The first man was made out of dirt. Now, I understand, you know, Adam and Eve had children, and they had children, and here we are today. I understand that. But the first man came from dirt. Something insignificant and small God used to make the first man. Isn't that something? How about this one? Where did Eve come from? God decided to use something a little bigger, but still pretty small thing in comparison to a person. He took a rib out of Adam. And from that rib, he made a woman. Small thing, made something bigger with it. What did David use to take down a giant? A smooth stone. Now, I don't believe he took a boulder because he couldn't have put that thing in a slingshot. He took a rock, if I had to guess, probably about the size of my hand, probably no bigger than a baseball, maybe even as small as a golf ball, because something going fast enough, as small as a golf ball, hits a giant in the forehead, it's knocking him out. Oh, yeah, from a long ways away, going at that speed, he didn't need anything much bigger than a golf ball. A baseball would have really done some damage. It wasn't that big, but it took down a giant. Little things, big difference. I'll tell you a really fun one to study on little things. In 1 Kings 17, you don't have to go over there, but there's this widow. And it's the widow of Zarephath. And Elijah comes to see her. And he actually asks her for something to eat. And all she's got is a handful of meal and a little cruse of oil. That's all she's got. And Elijah speaks to her, and the Lord's provision, this is the Lord that did this, the Lord's provision, if you go over there to 1 Kings 17, that handful of meal and little cruse of oil was plenty for Elijah, that woman, and her household, your Bible says, for many days. Little bit went a long way. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Feeding the 5,000, how many loaves and fishes? This lad has 5 barley loaves and your Bible says 2 small fishes. It says that. It doesn't say 2 fishes. 2 small fishes. How many people were fed with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes? Little things, big difference. Now, I'll throw this one at you. A little time out here, a little think on your own here. Now, think on this one before you answer. Little things make a big difference, right? You ever study compound interest? It's pretty fascinating. I'll ask you this question. Would you rather me give you, now I don't have this, but we got to pretend. Would you rather me give you $1 million right now today? or would you rather me give you a penny a day? Actually, I'll just start off with a penny. I'll give you a penny today. And every day that penny doubles for 30 days. And you get whatever there is after 30 days. Would you rather have a penny? I give you the penny today, it doubles every day for 30 days, or I give you $1 million today. What would you rather? Now, you're thinking on this, you're like, a penny? Okay, after 2 days, it's 2 cents. After 3 days, it's 4 cents. After 4 days, it's 8 cents. Help me out, math people. After 5 days, I think you're up to 16 cents. So, I got to cheat here. After 10 days, you got $5.12. Not looking so hot, is it? You should have taken that $1 million. After 10 days, you got $5.12, whereas the person who took the $1 million, man, they made out, right? Okay. After 15 days, you keep compounding, you keep doubling every day. After 15 days, $163.84. That's a far cry from $1 million. We're halfway through the month, by the way. 15 days is half of 30. All right, after 20 days, now you see a little bit of a jump here. After 20 days, $5,242.88. That's a far cry from $1 million. Not going to make it, are we? After 25 days, now we've made quite a jump because it keeps doubling every day. 25 days, $167,772.16. That's a lot of money. It's a whole lot more than I got. A whole lot more. But I'll tell you that it's a far cry from $1 million. That's after 25 days. Okay, 26 days, you're at $335,000 and some change. Day 27, you're at $671,000. What's going to happen on day 28? You're over $1 million. Day 28, $1.3 million. Day 29, $2.6 million. Day 30, $5.3 million. Aren't you glad you waited? Now, I'm not giving away any money today. Now, if you want a penny, I'd be glad to give you a penny. I can't guarantee it's going to double every day. But and by the way, there's not a bank on planet Earth that works like that, so don't get your hopes up. But I tell you that to show you, over time, something small makes a big difference. But you got to give it some time. So if you're here last Sunday night, I talked about Bible reading. So we're a week in. I don't know if you try to set a goal for Bible reading. But if you do 10 pages a day, after a week, that is such a small fraction of your big, giant, over 1,000-page Bible in most cases, right? Mine's 1,888 pages. 70 pages? Okay, I still got over 1,800 to go if I'm doing 10 a day, right? You keep going, though, and you keep going. You do that 10 a day every day, and you know what? In 6 months, I'm all the way through there. A little over 6 months. I'm all the way through there. And I got time to go through the whole Bible again before the year's up, 10 pages a day. See, what I'm saying is you don't see the difference in the little things in a short time. You see the difference in little things over a long time. Now, we've laughed and had some fun here, but we're going to have to put that to an end because this next one's going to be rough. But I want you to keep this in mind. A little bit over a long time makes a big difference. So you got to watch on this one. Let's go over in your New Testament. Go to 1 Corinthians. So we had the lilies. Well, this one's not going to be so fun. Let's talk about leaven. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Now, I was going to take you back to Exodus. We had a little more time here, and I won't. First time leaven is ever mentioned in your Bible is in Exodus 12. And that's the chapter of the Passover. You remember the Lord told Moses, hey, these people are not supposed to have any leaven. Not supposed to eat bread with leaven in it. All right, so all the rest of your Bible, this thing leaven is something undesirable. You say, what in the world is leaven? Well, leaven is a rising agent in bread. Usually it's yeast. And what happens if you just put a little tiny amount of yeast along with the bread that you're going to make, what's it going to do? It's going to rise. Now, Sherry and I were having this conversation on the way to church. We're talking about leaven. You know what happens is if you put that leaven in there, that bread will poof. And you know what you end up with sometimes? You end up with a lot of air as opposed to flatbread. No air. And actually, that's better for you nutritionally. So this thing about leaven, now, it's not like you can't eat bread that has risen. That's okay. It's all right. But God uses leaven, something small, to show us how something small can make a big difference. And it doesn't happen overnight. Oftentimes it takes time, but it starts small and it grows. So take a look at 1 Corinthians 5, about leaven. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 5, 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a what? Little leaven. Leaveneth what? The whole lump. So then it says this, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So if you think about it, leaven is something undesirable in your Bible, as far as spiritual things go. So let's make an application here. Leaven, small thing, but over time, big difference. It says it there in verse 6. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay, what is it, spiritually speaking, that usually, most of the time, starts out real small, but over time, it becomes a big problem? Can you think of anything? How about sin? So I'll use this example. Glory to God that I am not a drug user, and I have never been a drug user, never touched any of these substances, marijuana, cocaine, all that, and had it right in front of me. Oh, unfortunately, been situations where it was right there, never touched it. I'm going to tell you why. I told you this story before, you folks that have been here. Back in the 80s, Nancy Reagan was the first lady, and she was on a campaign against drugs. Y'all remember this, you folks that were around then? Say no to drugs and say yes to life. You heard that over and over. And over, Nancy Reagan, she gave this negative message. Say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. And by the way, I say she gave a negative message. Negative messages are not so popular anymore because people don't like negative things. But did you know if you're a Bible reader, negative things are needed. Negative messages should be heeded. So I heard this all through, as a kid in the 80s. You know, here I am. I became a teenager in the 80s. I guess 1980, I turned 8 and became a teenager in the 80s. I'm hearing this from 1980 to 1988. Nancy Reagan's on this campaign. Say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. So I can tell you the first time I was ever faced with something that where it's right in front of me and they said, hey, you want some of this? You know what I said? I said, no! And in my head, say no to drugs, say no to drugs, say no to drugs. Say no to drugs, say yes to life. Say no to drugs, say yes. Not to mention I had parents that were obviously on the campaign trail as well. Amen. And I heard from them all the time, that stuff will kill you. And it only takes one time to get on that stuff, and you'll be down the path, and that stuff will kill you. You do all kinds, you'll be of all kinds of crazy things if you get on that. You think about it, we could go to Titusville here, we go to any small town, big city, and you'll find people that live on the street and they're meth addicts. Been on crystal meth for quite some time and they can't shake the habit. I guarantee you, you talk to every one of those people, it wasn't as if they got up one morning and somebody threw crystal meth in their face and they said, yeah, I'll take some of that. It doesn't usually start like that. It usually starts with something like alcohol. And then that's not enough, so marijuana. And that's not enough, so here we are, cocaine. And you go on down the line here. Because the way your body works, you build up a tolerance for a certain substance, you got to have either more of it or you got to go to a different substance. That's the way our bodies are. So isn't that interesting? Just a little bit can make a big difference. It starts small. One day, one drink, one hit, one whatever it is, one pill. And over time, what happens? That thing builds up, and you got a destroyed life because it all started with one day, something really, really small. A little leaven. Okay, so here's some other examples. Watch the little habits that you develop. So I'm going to hit some things. You may not like them, but they're in your Bible, so bear with me. You can get mad at the Lord. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger here this morning, okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31 is an interesting verse. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I read through that verse here. I'm going through my Bible, and I'm just about done with the New Testament. So here, this is probably a couple weeks ago, I was reading through 1 Corinthians. And I thought, that's really interesting. Turn over there if you're not there. 1 Corinthians 10, you're just a few pages away. Really interesting that God would say two things, and then he would give you something that covers all the other bases. Look at verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now that's aimed at a Christian, right? Somebody who's saved. I came across that verse here a couple weeks ago, and the Lord stopped me, and I had to spend some time on it. And I thought to myself, the Lord could have just said, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Couldn't he have? Wouldn't that have included eating and drinking? But notice what he singled out in that verse. Y'all see what he singled out? What did he single out? Eating and drinking. Because we live in America, and America is the land of we love to eat and drink, don't we? I'm not even talking about alcoholic beverage when I'm talking about drinking. I'm just talking about eating and drinking, period. Americans live to eat. Now, you're supposed to eat to live. There's a big difference. A lot of Americans live to eat. if you haven't noticed that, you can do a little study on this. We've had a big problem with this virus here in our nation, more so than countries who have people with a lot healthier eating and drinking habits than we do. You know why? Because eating and drinking contributes to your overall personal health. And if you have good eating and drinking habits, chances are you have a healthy body, which means you have a healthy immune system. If you have a healthy immune system, if you get sick, less chance of getting really sick, right? Less chance to end up in a hospital. So I think that the Lord just might have had America in the year 2022 in mind when he had that verse there. What do you think? Because you know what we end up doing? We end up eating and drinking the wrong things, or we end up eating and drinking far too much. You know how many calories you need a day? You can get by. You could actually get by on about 1,500 calories, most of us. Now, depending on how much you weigh, the more you weigh, the more you need. But you can get by on about 1,500 and not go hungry. You know what most Americans consume on a daily basis? 3,000 plus. The average American is going to go 3,000 plus on the daily. So I think that tells us that we probably ought to watch what we eat and drink. And the Lord singled it out here because just a little bit makes a big difference. So let me give you something. This is just a little health advice here. Take it or leave it, all right? But there's a fellow that lost a ton of weight all because of one little habit that he changed. Does anybody know how many calories are in a can of soda? I think it's 160. It's either 140 or 160, right around there. So a guy's drinking a six-pack of soda a day. That's almost 1,000 calories a day. So he gets rid of that. And he replaces the soda that he's drinking with water. He's down 1,000 calories from what he normally had. You know what happens if you cut 1,000 calories out of your diet just like that? You're going to experience some weight loss. So over a short amount of time, this fellow lost a ton of weight, all because he changed one little habit. That soda, I'm telling you. You ever done the experiment where you try to get rust off of something metal with Coca-Cola? You ever tried that? Oh, it'll do it. It'll do a number on it. Which tells me that if it's doing that on that metal, what's it doing to my stomach? So that's just one little thing. What I'm telling you folks is if you're going to overhaul any of your habits, whether it's eating or drinking or anything else, just start small, because if you start small, a little thing will make a big difference over time, right? That's in the Bible. You can say amen. Amen. A little thing makes a big difference. Now let me hit spiritual things here. What do you listen to during the week? So here, this is me. This is probably you if you're honest. So all it takes is me to hear 2 seconds of a song without the words to take my mind back to 20 years ago, that same stinking song. And now that song's in my head for the rest of the day. And it's not the 2 seconds I heard, it's the whole stinking song. Because the whole song is there from a way long time ago, and the music is not good music. Little bit makes a big difference. So I don't know what you listen to during the week, but I'll tell you, make good use of technology. James was talking to me yesterday about this. There's a lot of good music you can get on the internet, on YouTube. He made himself a little playlist of a bunch of Christian music, good hymns singing. I mean, really, sing way better than me. I don't want to hear me. I want to hear somebody sing it well. You can listen to that and get that in your heart and your mind instead of the nonsense of this world. Because it only takes a little bit. So that's one little thing you could change. Just change your music. I'll tell you, if you change your music, it'll change the way you act and feel. It will. Music is powerful if you don't know that. Very powerful. So what are you listening to? I'll tell you, with technology, you know what you have the ability to do? You can pull up, and if you don't know any, I can give you a couple. James can give you some. Don, Brandon, you can pull up all kinds of Bible-believing preaching on the internet. Hey, if you're walking around the house doing something like that, put that stuff on. Listen to it. You got to be careful who you listen to. There's some wackos out there, but there's some good ones too. So why not just little thing? I'm going to replace that crazy music or that, how about this, the crazy talking heads on the talk show. Man, get rid of that nonsense. Listen to something that's going to edify you. Listen to good Bible preaching. Or how about this? With the phone, I could show you on my phone. I've got the Bible app, and it will read the Bible for me. It will read it out loud to me. So see how you replace these things. Back there in 1 Corinthians 5, notice what it said. There's something that will help you here. Verse 7, concerning leaven. It says, 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the what? Old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as you are unleavened. So there's a fella named Charles Duhigg that wrote this book about habits. It's a really good book. He's not a saved man, but he goes through all the psychological means of habits and how they affect me and you. And I will give you don't have to read the book, because I will tell you the book in a sentence. Here's the book in one sentence. Here it is. Ready? You want to change your habits? Get rid of the old habits that you don't desire to do anymore. But don't stop there. Replace them with good new habits. That's the whole book right there. Save you a lot of time. You know what your Bible says right there? Get rid of the old, that you may be what? What's it say there in verse 7? That you may be a new lump. So there may be some things you need to purge out so that it doesn't, over time, get bigger and bigger. Get those things out. Put something good in its place. And you'll see over time those good habits will grow. So here we are. We're on, what's today, January 9th? All right, January 9th. So let's say you set out to do 50 push-ups a day, every day of the year. Okay, so today, after 9 days, you've only done 450 push-ups. Now, some of you, that's a lot of push-ups. That's 400. To me, that's a lot. I couldn't do that at one time. It'd take me a while to do that. That's 450 more push-ups than you did before the year started, right? Okay? Now, over time, you do 50 push-ups a day. You know how many you're doing in a month? 1,500. A little bit every day, over time. That's a big. I can't imagine doing 1,500 push-ups. That's a lot to me. Okay, I think at one time I've done maybe 300, but I had to stop and take breaks. Took me a while to do it. 1,500 push-ups, you kidding me? But you see, over time, you just do a little bit each day, it can make a big difference. Are you getting the message here? Little things make a big difference. How about this one? I already mentioned this, but let's hit it again. When it comes to reading, here's what the world has done to us. They have made us used to reading blurbs. Have you noticed that? Only read a blurb. Here's the problem with that. The blurb is short, but the blurb is full of misinformation. And that little blurb of misinformation causes havoc with the whole world. I mean, James and I were talking about this Elon Musk guy. He can tweet something in 20 words sometimes. Maybe it takes him a little bit more than that. And the whole world goes nuts because of what he tweeted. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But I say that because what you read can have a big influence on your life. So let me just warn you, stay away from these little blurbs. And you get these from social media. They're all over social media. Stay away from those little blurbs. I got a really good idea on something you can replace those little blurbs with. You ready? Psalm 32:8. That was the memory verse this morning. Okay, so last week we had another psalm. We got another one this week. Replace it with something that you can meditate on that's going to be good for you. Because here's what people do. And I've been guilty of myself. You scroll, blurb, 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 blurb. Oh, you're really excited. Oh, you're really mad. And see, that thinking thing will play with your emotions if you let it. Just cut the nonsense, man. Cut it out. Get you an index card. Write down your verse for this week. I think next week is Psalm 48:14. Write that thing down. And every time you're tempted to go scroll through there and look at some blurb, you pull out that blurb you got on the card that's way better than any blurb you could see online. Amen? And spend some time memorizing and meditating on that thing. Now, some of you are good enough. Some of you are good enough to take one of those cards a day and make a new one every day and put that in your heart and mind. And some of you got a really good memory. I'm looking at you young. The younger you are, the better you can do this. So, hey, take advantage, because here's the deal. I did that when I was young, not by a choice. My parents kind of made me do it. All these memory verses I studied and learned so that I could get this little award. And guess what? 30 years later, guess where they still are? They're still in me. I remember them. Amen. Okay? So take the time to take the little things that are no good, replace them with the good things, and you'll see over time it'll make a big difference. I think people get discouraged at the beginning of the year because they try to change their habits, and they go a week and they've changed their habits and they say, I don't see any difference. Here's why. A little bit over a long time makes a big, big difference. Okay, so let's last thing here. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 16 on leaven, and I got to hustle on this last point. Last thing about leaven, and I'll give you the last point real quick. Matthew 16. Leaven pictures sin in your Bible. Now, if you don't know, and Pastor does this, every time Pastor does this, I don't like it, but man, I sure do need it. Pastor will say something along the lines of, if you don't know about something in your life that the Lord wants you to take care of spiritually, maybe to get rid of or to change, just have a little conversation with the Lord and say, Lord, would you please show me? And I don't like it every time Pastor says that. Because I'm like, I need to do that. But guess what? Don't matter if I like it or not. I need to do it. Here's why. Sin starts small. Over time, you're down the path, man. It's bad news. Look what else here in this passage starts small and then over time can be really, really bad news. Look at verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6. This pertains to leaven. So leaven can be like sin. Look what else leaven can be like. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of who? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. So look at what the disciples are thinking here in verse 7. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. So these disciples are thinking to themselves, man, those Pharisees and Sadducees, they got some bread that we need to not eat. They're thinking that. But here's a great example in your Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ taking a physical example to teach you a spiritual truth. He does this over and over in the Gospels. God does this in the Old Testament. Physical example, spiritual truth. Hey, what's leaven? That's something physical, right? Starts small, over time, big difference. Leaven is a picture of sin. In this passage, look what else it's a picture of. Go down to verse 12. The Lord will explain to them. Verse 12. Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the what? Doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So knowing what we know about leaven, leaven is something really small that over time can corrupt something, correct? What is in the passage there that can creep in small and over time can become a big mess? Did you see it? The wrong kind of, help me out, doctrine. Watch out for false doctrine. Beware of false doctrine. How are you going to beware of false doctrine? How are you going to be able to spot false doctrine? You better get to know your Bible. If you're getting in your Bible, you're getting to know the Lord better. You're knowing what real, true doctrine is. Watch out for false doctrine. Now, I'm getting close to 50, and I have seen from my 20s, most evangelical Christians believe the Bible. Okay, that was the case for most of my 30s. And then I got in my 40s, so we're looking here 10 years ago, 8 years ago. You know what I'm seeing? Evangelical Christianity is full of people who say they're Christians that don't believe the Bible. They don't. So if you want to get rid of false doctrine, you got to know what is true doctrine, right? I think a lot of you chose this, and we're not anything special, but a lot of you chose this church because you know that you're going to get Bible doctrine, which is true doctrine, from the pulpit here. And you're also going to be challenged to check your Bible to see if the preacher's telling you the truth. Amen. Now, that's not the case everywhere, and we're not the only place. There's many like us. Here in Brevard County, here in Florida, there's many, but there's fewer and far between, it seems like. So, false doctrine. Let me give you an example of this. Fella out in Arizona, last name Anderson. I got familiar with this guy probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago maybe, and I listened to the guy online, and I said, man, this guy has the right convictions about the Bible. He goes after people. He goes after souls. Wants to win people to Christ. He preaches hard. He gets in a pulpit and gives it. And I'm like, man, this guy's good. And I think actually he got off to a pretty good start. And then he got all messed up when it comes to the nation of Israel. And here's what he did. This is bad doctrine that's in some churches today. Unfortunately, some independent Baptist churches. He said the church is now in place of Israel. Here's Israel. Here's the church. The church has replaced the nation of Israel. So when you go down that path, you are going down, I'm telling you, you open all kinds of problems when you go down that path. What you have to do is go to the Old Testament and try to explain passages away that are very clear. And then you go to the New Testament, it's even worse. And you're trying to say, God's done with the Jew. All right? Let me show you God's not done with the Jew. Last point this morning here. Go to Matthew 25. The Lord put this thing together just right for us. Interesting how people, even they call themselves Baptists, would say, God's done with the Jew. The church has replaced the nation of Israel. Oh boy, well let's go to Matthew 25. Now, I'm going to take you here in the future. This is the judgment of nations. I'm going to skip around here, and I challenge you to go back and read and study this when you got time, because we're just about out of time here. So look at verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all what? All right, so this has got to do with the nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Okay, so what do you think is better, sheep or a goat? Sheep. So what He does here is He's going to pass judgment on these nations. And if you go, let's keep going here. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared you from the foundation of the world. So that's a good thing. They're going into the kingdom. How come? Look at verse 35. For while I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? So you understand, before I go on here, these are people that have gone through the tribulation, and the Lord is commending them for eating, for feeding Him, giving Him food and drink and clothing. And they're saying, Lord, you weren't even here. When did we do this? Keep reading. Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say it unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the what? Here's the last point, the least. The least of these key words. My what? Brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, when you go physically speaking, who are the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks? It's the Jew, isn't he, Jesus Christ, from the tribe of Judah, nation of Israel? And you study this out, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but nations are judged at the end of the tribulation based on how they treated, guess who? The Jew. This fellow out in Arizona has said, the church has replaced Israel, the Jew is not important anymore. You know what that is? That's false doctrine. You know what's happened if you study this guy? And I've kind of got better things to do than keep up with him, but I kept up with him for a while, and what he's done is he's gone down this path, and now his doctrine in many other places is an absolute disaster. We had a lady that came here for a while that was kind of one of his followers, and she asked me about some stuff in the back. So what she asked me about after church one day was the pre-trib rapture, because this fella teaches that there is no pre-tribulation rapture. You know how you get there? You get rid of the Jew. That's just one of many steps to getting there. This guy's all messed up. How did he get there? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He got one little thing off. It led to getting a whole bunch of the Bible off. I'd take you over to Isaiah 40. And you know what the Lord says? He says, all the nations are like a drop in the bucket. You ever seen a drop? Is it a small thing or a big thing? It's a little tiny thing. The least. And the Lord says, that's what the nations are like. You know why He said that? He wants us to see how great He is. Because we think highly of, oh, the mighty United States of America. Oh, we got to watch out for that great nation, China. That's a big country. Oh, and the Russians. Putin, oh no. And the Lord says, the nations are like a drop in the bucket. The Lord uses the least of things to teach us the biggest lessons oftentimes. So let's close this morning. I just asked some questions here. What are some little things that you could take a few minutes this week that God made, little things God made you could just marvel at? I challenge you to take some time to marvel at God's creation, some of the smallest things He made. Hey, spend some time looking at and maybe you got to do a little research to do this, but study the honeybee. I talked about honey last Sunday night. That is a marvel of God's creation. Study the mosquito. I know you don't like mosquitoes. I don't either. But that is a marvel of God's creation. Proverbs 6. Go to the ant. Study the ant. You'll learn something. Oh, yeah. Take some time to study those little things that God made. Here's what you're going to do whenever you do that. You're going to marvel at God as the creator when you do that. Take the time to do that. Now, here's the rough patch. What are some little things in your life today that over time, if you don't get rid of them, they're going to cause big problems? Hey, I don't know. But God knows, and you know, and if you don't know, ask Him and He'll tell you. What are some little things that are causing, you can see them causing some big problems down the road if you don't take care of it right now? Ask the Lord to show you those things. What seemingly little or insignificant people could you start paying attention to this week? You mentioned the brethren of Jesus Christ, the Jew. I think there's a lot of insignificant people that could probably use our attention this week. What do you think? Because the insignificant people are the people that the Lord says, hey, they're important to me. Little things make a big difference. The Lord's got His eye on the little things. How about we get our eyes on the little things? Zechariah 4, it says, verse 10, who hath despised the day of small things? You know what the Lord's concerned with? The little things. Because the little things make a big difference. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us all kinds of things. We can go the rest of the afternoon talking about little things that You point out in Your Word that make a big difference. Lord, I pray that You'd pinpoint me and every one of us this morning something small that we need to take care of in our hearts and minds this morning, in our lives. May we not put it off. May we take care of it now. Pray that You'd just do great and mighty things with each one of us that are here this morning throughout this year, whether we have a long time or a short time. We don't know. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.